The Journal is a new podcast from Gimlet Media and The Wall Street Journal about money, business, and power.
On this show, we show you how a company's bottom line affects the decisions you make every day.
Google's entire future is predicated on it continuing to be the one place you go for the answer to all information.
We follow the money and see where it takes us.
This is one of the biggest financial heists that has ever happened, period.
The Journal is out now.
On Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Merrill and LinkedIn.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. You're entitled to a free copy of your credit report, but there's a good chance not everything on the credit report is accurate. We'll discuss with a Wall Street Journal news editor. First, some money and market news you should know. This coming holiday season, a lot of Americans making a list and checking it twice. They'll be buying those gifts with store credit cards. About a third of Americans say they plan to open a store card during the holidays, but CompareCards.com says that half of the people who've opened one say they regretted it. Interest rates on retail cards have risen over the past year, even as the prime rate, which most credit card issuers use to set their interest rates, has fallen over the same period. The average annual percentage rate for retail cards now stands at 26%. That's up a third of a percentage point from a year ago, and that's about 5 percentage points higher than the overall average credit card rate. Forget the double cheeseburgers. The hottest items on fast food menus are breakfast go-tos like egg and sausage sandwiches. Spending on breakfast at fast food restaurants has gone up 30% over the past 5 years. And in the third quarter of this year, Starbucks and McDonald's each captured more than 20% of the share of store visits during typical breakfast hours. They're followed by Subway, Chick-fil-A, Dunkin' Donuts, and Burger King, each vying for 5 to 15%. Wendy's came in at under 5%, but that was without a breakfast menu. Now Wendy's is spending tens of millions of dollars and hiring thousands of workers to bring breakfast to nearly 6,000 U.S. restaurants, hoping to get a bigger bite out of that market share.
The Journal is a new podcast from Gimlet Media and The Wall Street Journal about money, business, and power.
On this show, we show you how a company's bottom line affects the decisions you make every day.
Google's entire future is predicated on it continuing to be the one place you go for the answer to all information.
We follow the money and see where it takes us.
This is one of the biggest financial heists that has ever happened, period.
The Journal is out now.
On Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Merrill and LinkedIn.
Your credit score can make or break your chances of getting a credit card or impact bigger milestones in life, like securing a car loan or a mortgage. But there are a lot of theories related to what can knock your score lower, but not all of them are true. Let's debunk some of those myths with Wall Street Journal news editor Demetria Gallegos. So Demetria, could checking your credit score actually hurt your score?
There are no circumstances under which checking your own score is going to hurt your score. Now, if a lender is checking and they're planning to extend credit to you, like you're trying for an auto loan, for example, or a new credit card, that is a hard inquiry and it will cost you a few points. There are gray areas which I think contribute to the confusion. For example, some rental applications are a hard inquiry. Others are not. You can open up a bank account, for example, without costing yourself on your credit score. But if you applied for overdraft protection, that's when they may make a hard inquiry, and that would affect your credit score. But again, to find out your own score, it will never cost you points, and there are several ways to do that for free.
So how does someone keep track of their credit score free of charge?
There are a couple of mechanisms for doing that. Anyone can see their FICO score, their FICO score 8, which is a very popular model, through the Discover Credit Scorecard. You don't have to be a member or own a Discover card in order to sign up and be able to track your FICO score there. You can also track your Vantage Score 3.0 through popular personal finance applications like Credit Karma or Mint.
And so if you're shopping around for a good rate and you have several lenders checking your score, those checks don't add up. There's actually an assumption that if somebody is shopping around, that's fairly benign.
a lot of people decide not to comparison shop for things like mortgages and car loans because they're aware that every credit inquiry from a potential lender is going to discount points from their score. But what's actually going to happen is that the credit scoring models are going to recognize that multiple inquiries by lenders within a short period of time are indicative of you shopping around or rate shopping. And they are going to cluster all of those inquiries together as one. Now, you do have to work rather fast. VantageScore 3.0 has a 14-day shopping window. And on the FICO side, there are different scoring models that a lender might look at. And those shopping periods range from 14 to 45 days.
Oh, wow. So organize what you want to do and do it all in an efficient time frame.
Right. I learned this myself. I was shopping for a mortgage over the summer, and I was taking my time about it. And I had two inquiries. And as soon as I discovered that they had damaged my credit score, I stopped looking to other lenders. So I no longer was in a competitive bidding place. I instead decided to go with one of the first bids I got. If I had been working more quickly, I might have been able to shop myself around a little bit more.
Wow. So now if I open up more credit cards, like the offers I get from stores, I get offers all the time in the mail. If I were to open up some of those offers, will that improve my score?
This really depends on what your score starts at and what your credit history has been in the past. If you have a relatively mature credit history, the average age of your accounts is at least several years old, you have relatively low utilization, and you apply for a new retail card, it could actually cost you points. Because what you've done by opening the new credit account is you've shortened the average age of all of your accounts cumulatively because you have a brand new baby account with zero history. Also, if you've already been using your credit card sparingly, your utilization was already low, you have a new credit line that hasn't been charged up yet with the new card, but it's kind of inconsequential because you had plenty of available credit to start with. However, if you are new to credit or you've been relatively inactive, it may be that a new credit card, if you are successful in that application, could help your score because lenders now have another way of examining your behavior, gauging your credit worthiness over time. And you've suddenly increased your utilization because you have a brand new credit card with zero charged on it, and all of that utilization is free. It makes you look like a better credit bet.
And as you spend and build up balances, will carrying a balance improve your score?
There is a persistent myth that I know that many people in this credit industry are trying to bust, that by demonstrating activity on cards at all time, that is by carrying a balance from month to month, that you are somehow improving your credit score, but that's complete misperception. In fact, all you're doing is costing yourself potential interest and harming your other financial objectives around the use of credit.
Oh, so it's seen as late payment and irresponsibility.
No, it's not necessarily seen as late payment if you have made your payment on time, but if you haven't paid it off in full and you are carrying a balance, that doesn't help your credit worthiness assessment, and it only costs you interest on the amount you haven't paid off.
And if I'm at a store and I'm using my debit card, but I choose credit, some people believe that that'll actually improve my score. Is that true?
This is another myth that seems to persistently confuse people. We know from a Credit Card Insider survey that 42% of respondents thought that using their debit card or selecting the credit option on a debit card transaction was going to help their credit score. In fact, it does not. And we understand this confusion. You have two cards in your wallet. One is a debit card with a Visa logo. The other is a credit card with a Visa logo. There's no reason for a user to necessarily discern the difference. But that debit transaction is never reported up to the credit reporting firms.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And as we've reported before, there are more opportunities to improve your score, like paying your phone bill or even your rent on time.
Yes, there are new areas of your financial life that credit reporting firms now have the possibility of monitoring with your permission. For example, if you have enrolled in a rental reporting firm, you might get the same credit for paying your monthly rent on time that a mortgage holder gets for making their mortgage payments. Or you can Experian Boost, you can allow them to see your bank account activity when it comes to the payment of phone and utility bills. And so they say that about 2 million people have boosted their score about 10 points by permissioning Experian to record that activity now. And also next year, UltraFICO is going to allow consumers to basically demonstrate responsible behavior and essentially more creditworthy behavior through their management of their bank accounts, their money market accounts. If they have kept a steady balance, if they have avoided overdrafts, and if they have, you know, just generally showed responsible activity in their bank accounts, that's going to boost their FICO score. The problem with these programs generally is that not all of them are going to report to all three of the credit reporting firms. So you may be working with a rental reporting firm that reports to TransUnion, for example, and some future lender is going to ask Experian or Equifax for your credit report or your credit score. You may not get the benefit of that rental reporting behavior.
And then people are entitled to a free copy of their credit report, which I don't think everyone is aware of. And they should get it and then go over it very closely because not everything in their credit report is necessarily accurate.
Yes, we have a Federal Trade Commission survey from a few years back that showed that 21% of consumers found errors on their credit reports that would result in modifications by the credit reporting firms when reported or disputed. 5% of those errors were so serious that the terms of credit people would be granted would be affected. For example, I could end up paying a higher interest rate because of an error on my credit report.
That's a lot. That's a lot of occurrences.
Right. And so what we see on these credit reports is, you know, all kinds of mistakes and in some cases fraud. So the mistakes could involve someone with the same name as you, a credit account that they've taken out that somehow got onto your credit report. You might find that your credit report includes an error because somebody misread your handwriting. You might find debts there from your ex-spouse. The best way to stay on top of this is to avail yourself of the free annual credit report that comes from annualcreditreport.com. You can request that once a year from all three of the credit reporting firms, and that's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And experts are recommending that you do that every 4 months with a different firm so that over the course of 12 months, you've seen three reports every 4 months. You're keeping tabs on your credit record all year long.
So once per quarter, check in with one of the three reporting companies and get your free report.
Exactly.
All right. Good advice. That's Wall Street Journal news editor Demetria Gallegos here in our studio. Demetria, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.